Yeah, that's one I like to call the Blankman Collection. That's Casey and the Sunshine Band with Get Down Tonight, because, well, you're blaring that out of your car speakers all the time.
I do, absolutely.
Casey and the Sunshine Band's greatest hits.
Yes, it's probably my favorite album.
That and the ABBA.
ABBA, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Carpenters, I know you're a huge
You're pushing it a little bit there.
Yeah. One of the things we bonded over many, many years ago is our deep-seated hatred of the Carpenters.
Yes.
Sorry, Carpenters fans out there.
Yes.
Mason has no clue what we're talking about
now. No, he doesn't. Let's just say that they rarely played when I was in here.
Yeah. Yeah, and I made sure of that. I took care of you.
I thank you for that. Yeah. So,
it is KCIM Sports Rewind. Welcome to it. I'm John Ryan.
I'm Jeff Blankman.
And I'm Mason Nealand.
And we are about to talk about the Iowa Hawkeyes, Mason. Are you right? We're going to talk about the Hawkeyes and the Bears, and it's going to be the worst 10 minutes of your life.
I can see the door already. I mean, I got to walk out here pretty soon if we're going to keep talking about that.
Where do you want to start? What was that? What was the worst loss for you this weekend?
The Bears, because I watched Iowa already lose, so I'm like, well, there goes that. And I figured I was going to lose, and then I watched
freshest
the Bears.
In your mind.
I watched the Bears, and I'm like, well, Caleb Williams looks really solid, going 10-10 to start the game, and then just completely off a cliff.
Yeah, that's true. It's always depressing when your team plays well for three quarters, then they just fall apart in the fourth quarter and lose a game.
Yeah, I didn't get to see any of it, so I told Mason yesterday that I would stay out of the conversation, so I'll just let this be between you two guys.
I love the way J.J. played in the last part. I mean, he showed some guts.
Yes.
You got to admit that. They've been waiting for that kind of quarterback play for a long time, and they got it. The run play at the end for the touchdown, great play call. But when is the last time a Vikings quarterback intentionally ran and not run for his life out of the backfield? And that what just took the Bears by surprise.
What do you think sparked that, John? Him getting comfortable in the fourth quarter. What do
they
you
got
think
aggressive.
Yeah.
I think they stopped, you know, just trying to be too sensitive or too, you know, perfect on everything. They just said, let it fly. I mean, I throw the ball down the field. The run game helped a heck of a lot.
Right.
Jordan Mason was great last night for the Vikings. So I think that did it. But the Bears, all of a sudden, their offense just fell. Caleb Williams was 10 for 10, first 10 passes. After that, 10 of 24.
Wow.
Yeah, it was terrible. I mean, you look at it, I think it was the fact of you're at home, you're honoring the 85 Bears, you're out there playing really good, and then the second J.J. McCarthy came on, he knocked us onto our butt, and I don't think Ben Johnson or Caleb Williams knew how to take it, and so once they were playing from behind, I think they kind of just fell apart, and it wasn't even that we were playing from behind score-wise, but momentum-wise, and that going from the third quarter to the fourth quarter, you started playing from behind.
Yeah, the anti-Josh Allen. Right there, Caleb Williams' game last night. What did Josh have, like 250 yards passing in the fourth quarter
in
or something like that?
In the fourth quarter or something, yeah. What
insane.
A comeback for them. Yeah, that I didn't get to see that game either. I was working on some other stuff in the house. But, how do you score that many points against somebody with a really good, you know, known for a really good defense in that short of a period of time as what, you know, Buffalo did? I thought they were out of that game as I was kind of getting score updates on my phone. I thought they were out of it, and then they come back and win.
All right, sorry, Mason, we're going to talk about the Hawkeyes now. So Gronowski's taking all the heat because he's the guy making the millions as the Iowa quarterback. To me, I don't know, I put the blame on the coaching staff. I mean, if he looked tentative and things like that, that's just the Iowa offense. Every quarterback they've had has looked tentative, and so it can't just be Gronowski.
The one thing I will add is that you know, I agree that I think Gronowski's taken a lot of the heat, but I think you're also seeing a lot of fans starting to turn on Kirk again. I saw a ton of Twitter stuff, Facebook stuff, Instagram stuff on Sunday morning of this. Is it time for the conversation to be had? Is it time to make the change? And they're not talking at quarterback. They're talking the head coach. So I think Kirk is starting to take a little bit of flack. But, you know, this happened about 10 years ago, and they turned the program around and have had a really nice run then. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, for Kirk, I think I said it to you, both you guys at least. Kirk's probably heard this about 100 times. Every time we lose to Iowa State, every time you lose to a team like that, it's – you know, is Kirk out of touch? Is Kirk time to get out of here? But then somehow you get 8 wins and all of us Hawkeye fans are satisfied. But, I mean, the 8 wins almost looks impossible this year is what I'm saying.
He'll certainly be the winningest Big Ten coach of all time. And,
right.
And a record that probably will not be broken for a long, long time. But, you know, if you're a college kid coming out and you have dreams of making it to the NFL, unless you're a defensive player, Iowa's great. If you're an offensive player, right now, why would you go there?
Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, step on eggshells here and not break any and stuff. But yeah, their offense has not been very good. Last year they averaged, I think, around 27 a game, which isn't bad. But it almost sounds like, from what I've heard from Iowa fans this year, is that they've kind of putting the reins back on, you know, their offensive coordinator. And last year they were kind of allowed to be able to do some things, and this year they've put those reins back on. So it'll be interesting. I still think, as Mason said, they'll find a way to win their 8 or 9 games. I think the other number that jumps out to me is that Ferentz is 14-13 against Iowa State. You know, growing up in the 80s and the 90s, when Iowa won like every year for almost, what, 15, 16 years in a row, you know, for the last 27 years to be 14-13 and Iowa just having the one game edge, you know, that we're the big brother thing has completely disappeared, because Iowa State might be taking over the state right now.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, they're on the upswing with their program. Yep. I'll be honest, they got extremely lucky. They probably didn't deserve to win that game, if not for that tipped pass that the tight end happens to catch. I mean, run that play in 100 more times, tip the ball, the kid's never going to catch it. Mm. He happened to catch it that one time. Big first down. He makes another terrific catch a play or two later, and that's what really turned that game around.
I will just tell you this. This is all I paid attention, because I was at a volleyball tournament. I was driving back, and Iowa had the ball first and 10 at their own 15, final drive of the first half. I listened to that drive. They scored. I turned it, because I'm like, I just brought good luck to the Hawkeyes, and I can't listen anymore.
So it was Blankman's fault.
Yes.
That they lost.
Yes.
All right. So any last thoughts on that game? I mean, Gronowski, what do you think about it?
I mean, I don't think it's – I told Blankman before the season I didn't want to judge Gronowski off what he did at SDSU, and I didn't want to say he was going to be really good or really bad before the season. I still think it's going to need some time. I mean, he's in a new system, playing a couple games here. I think once we start getting into Big Ten play and you see him play against some of those teams like a USC or an Oregon, I think it'll be kind of then that you can judge how well he's going to do this year.
Yeah, they just need to get it together. The passing, I don't know if it's the receivers or what that's going on there. Gronowski deserves his share of the blame, but yep. I don't think it can be completely dumped on him.
From what I hear from Iowa fans on Sunday, several of them called me. They don't have receivers that can get open. Maybe they need to use DJ Vanami a little bit more.
I was going to say, good to see him on the field.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. It sounds like he had a pretty good game, and I think Caden got in special teams as well, Caden Cook, and then, of course, you always got Ty Nissen with the holder, and he's one of the elite ones in the country. So nice to see some of our area kids. And we can't forget, we did cover Tyler Miller when he was at Peyton Sherdan. He always starts on the O-line for Iowa State. So congratulations goes out to both of those guys.
Some local flavor going on in that game. We'll probably not spend a lot of time talking about Nebraska's squeaker over Akron 68-0.
The only thing I'll say is that, you know, when I was down in Kansas City the Thursday before after the game, I said to all the Nebraska fans around me, it would be nice to have a game where you could take a breath in the first quarter and relax. Well, I guess I got it.
Yeah. That was an easy game for them. The two other games that really stood out in college football, then we'll move on to high school stuff. Oklahoma defeats Michigan 24-13, but the real one, I just like, how far has this program fallen? UNLV over UCLA 30-23.
Yeah.
How far has UCLA fallen?
And the fall may not be over yet. That's the kind of the scary thing. You know,
this is one of the biggest universities in the country. They should have an exorbitant amount of NIL to spend.
Yeah. They do. I just don't know if they're putting it in the right place right now.
Yeah. So. Maybe it's keeping their stadium you know, glued together or something. I don't know, but that was absolutely horrendous.
Yeah.
I was like, when does UCLA get beat by UNLV?
You look at this week, though, and, you know, Troy was leading, Clemson until late in the ball game, and a lot of power programs, Georgia didn't play all that terribly well. You know, I think you're starting to get it where sometimes teams, when they're playing teams that they're supposed to roll over, they just don't show up as focused as what they, you know, used to do. So
I think the NIL, and now you're starting to see how the NIL money was spent.
Right.
And who's separating themselves, who made wise decisions, and maybe who didn't.
Well, and Akron has no NIL because they financially couldn't afford it. So they literally do not have anybody that they're paying on that team. That's part of the reason why Nebraska looked like they did. So
All right, let's talk local high school football. Of course, some exciting games over the weekend. What's your top game this week?
Kemper Algona, I'll say that one right there. I mean, Kemper trailing at halftime 21-17, doesn't allow a single point in the second half for Algona. They beat a team that's ranked number 5 in Class 3A, and they beat them really badly in that second half.
Yeah, 55-21.
What did Ryan Steinkamp say about that? What did he tell them at halftime?
I think it sounds like they came out more physical in the second half and kind of took the physicality to Algona. And that's something that, you know, at times Kemper has struggled with, you know, in the past is that, you know, smack the opponent in the mouth thing. And they just dominated that game up front and got some big plays. And I know Alford had an interception that he returned for a touchdown, and he wasn't going to be not denied. Ran through some tackles. So I think the physicality that they played with in the second half was probably the difference from what I understand in that game.
Got a little wake-up call in the first half.
A little bit, made some nice adjustments defensively. It sounded like even though they gave up 21 in the first half, they felt like they were in position to make plays, just didn't make them. And then in the second half, they did.
Yeah, I always go back to Dennis McCartan. He said, you know, oh, great halftime adjustments, because we didn't make any adjustments.
Right.
We just said play better.
Yes.
In the second half.
Yeah.
Got their attention and said, you know what, you guys need to wake up a little bit. And that's what they did. So Kemper rolls on to a 55-21 win.
Yeah, speaking of, Danny got a chance to talk to him. He's working over at Arweva now. So he was running gate over at the Arweva Glidden game on Friday night. So it was fun getting a chance to catch up with Danny
still
for a moment.
Still waiting for you to get behind the mic, Danny. We're still waiting. We're going to get him on someday.
We will. He would be really good. Yeah, he would.
What else? What are the bigger headlines out of the week?
You know, I think Arweva rallying back to beat Glidden-Ralston. Glidden kind of dominated the first half and led it 14-0. You know, had a couple of big pass plays that turned into touchdowns. One was a touchdown and the other turned into a touchdown. But Arweva comes back, gets 15 in the second half and scores with, I think it was 2:01 remaining as Wyatt Regaler on a fourth down play. Rolled to his left and then cut it back to the right side and found the sideline and scored it, and then they went for two and got it. You look at what Weston Toff did. There was a play in the first half where they gave up an interception, and it looked like Landon Rohrbeck was going to take it to the house, and Toff sprinted down and caught him inside the 5, and then they held him on downs, and I think that was a huge play for Arweva defensively. Toff made the tackle on second down and on the fourth down play. And then if you're Glidden-Ralston, God, the penalties. I know Arweva had some too, but Glidden-Ralston just had some back-breaking penalties in that game. They opened the second half taking the kickoff back for a touchdown. It gets called back from a block in the back that was 20, 25 yards behind the play that didn't even need to be made. You know, and even Austin Stolk, the head coach for Arweva, kind of said in the postgame, you know, when I was chatting with him, that, you know, if they go up 21-0, it's probably a different outcome in that football game. I don't know if Arweva can come back from down 21-0 with Glidden having all that momentum. So,
wow, that's a killer right there.
Yep.
So teams that are 2-0, Kemper and Audubon.
Kemper and Audubon are 2-0. Yep. Mike and Manning suffered their first loss, losing to St. Albert. And I know you talked with Coach McCarville this morning. Just too many big plays, the way it sounds.
Too many big plays for St. Albert, and he thinks that the tackling needs to be improved there. But he says that this week should probably be different for him, and he expects it should be different for him.
South Central Calhoun just struggled. I know I talked to some of the coaches up at the volleyball tournament Saturday in Rockwell City. They just were not happy with the performance on Friday night as they fell to Ridgeview 28-6. ESAC, I think, was really happy. Maybe not as happy in the fourth quarter as Altarilla made a little bit of a run at them, but I think Coach McCullough was pretty excited with that 25-15 win as they moved to 1-1.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it, it was 25-0 going into that fourth quarter, giving up 15, probably not the biggest thing that they wanted to see, but to go up 25-0 and get their first win there, that's big for Coach McCullough and that program.
And wildest game of the week might have been Cam at Coon Rapids Bears.
Yeah, high-scoring affair. Coon tried to rally back in that one. And it seemed like every time they'd get down by a score, Cam would score again and go right back up by two scores, and then Coon would try and answer and stuff. He's just not able to get over the hump, so they fall to 1-1. That district should be really interesting. I think Audubon, and we'll find out for sure when they play Arweva this weekend, but Audubon appears to be the team as they go go down and hammer on Griswold 76-8. They've had 12 offensive possessions this year. All 12 have been touchdowns. They haven't punted once. They've scored 3 touchdowns defensively, several with their special teams as well this year. But Audubon seems to be the team to beat in that district. But you got Arweva, Glidden, Cam, and Coon. All seem to be fighting kind of for that 2 through 5, and they all look like, at least on paper right now, that they're really even ball clubs. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And I was actually talking with Sean Burks before the show about that today, you know, and stuff this morning. But yeah, and then our other team, of course, you know, Carroll Falls.
Before we get to Carroll, Audubon. What did they score, like 150 points through the first couple of games?
Pretty much, yeah. I'm trying to remember the score.
I don't remember the first.
They had 64 in week one.
Yep, and 76, so that'd be about 130 points, 120, 120 points, yeah.
That is crazy. They could be setting some scoring records this year. I don't know what records are, maybe school records possibly.
Right, yeah.
I'm sure there's been other programs, that, eight-man programs especially, that put up some monster numbers, but Audubon is just dominated.
And if I remember correctly, Aiden Kiergaard averaged 27.3 yards per carry, I think, this week for
wow.
them.
Wow. Pretty close, yeah. I'd say so.
Yeah, I think it was 27.3 or 29.3 or something like that per carry. That's not per passing attempt.
Mm-hmm.
That's per carry.
Wow. All right, yeah. Let's move on to the Carroll game. 0-2 on the year. How surprising is that?
Not surprising in this. I think Carroll's a really good team, and they're going to win some games. I still think they win that district. I do. Harlan's struggling early in the year. I think Carroll's the team to beat now in that district. But you looked at their non-district schedule, and it was loaded. Pretty much everybody was either a district champion or a team that made the Dome a year ago, you know, which means they were probably a district champion as well. So their early schedule was really, really strong, but I think that'll have them prepared for that district run. Mason?
Yeah, I mean, I look at Carroll's district, and everyone in that district's either 1-1 or 0-2, and you looked at Harlan, everyone said Harlan was going to run away with the district. They're number one in this district, and they go on, and they go 0-2. So you look at both teams, and you're like, how can Harlan run away with the district and Carroll be so far behind if both of them are 0-2? And it looks like, I mean, I'm going to say this, in my opinion, Carroll's probably played stronger competition so far throughout the season. And you look at, they lose to Spencer 27-19. Humboldt handled Spencer, I think, 33-12 or something in week one. So, I mean, Humboldt not going to be any different than what saw.
Guess who's coming to town next week? It's Humboldt. It's Humboldt. Tigers. So the schedule does not get any easier for the Tigers there. But any sense of panic right now from?
I don't think so.
No.
In talking with Coach Rowetter Saturday morning, they're just going to continue to go about doing their business. I think they knew that they were going to be challenged, and this first part of the schedule was going to be really rough. I think they're disappointed to be 0-2. I think they felt like the Gilbert game was a game that they should have won. I think they probably felt like they left some things out there against Spencer. But no, I don't think there's any panic with this group. I don't think that senior group will allow it.
Yeah, there's that. That was, again, 0-2 start for Carroll High on that one, and it's facing Humboldt this coming week at home. Other scores that got my attention, you mentioned it before, Mason. Glenwood knocking off Harlan 17-12, and Atlantic dominating Denison 30-8. Atlantic has not been good the last 10 years.
Yeah, their program's starting to come back on. You could see some improvement out of them last year, and I think that they're going to be, I think they'll have a shot at making the postseason this year. So I do. I think they can get into the playoffs this season. So
when's the last time Harlan and Denison both lost in the same week?
Probably
been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And maybe in the last few years, but I mean, historically speaking, those two have been very, very strong.
Oh, yeah. When I grew up in the 80s, the Harlan-Denison matchup a lot of times was for a conference championship back then, you know, and stuff. And it was two teams ranked, a lot of times two teams ranked in the top 5 or top 10. So that was always one of the biggest matchups in the entire state.
Yeah, I remember driving back from some games. Our games would be over with, and the Denison-Harlan game would be still on, and you tuned in because it's like, wow, it's going right down to the wire.
Yeah, yeah. Those were some
times
great teams back in the days. Absolutely.
All right. So, again, that is the football week 2. We get set for week 3, but we got to deal with our a winner, sack of the game winner. Who we got?
Jack Baiting from Kemper picking up a big sack in that win against Algona. So that that is our sack of the game, and I think you have the name of our winner.
I do. Congratulations, Kelly Wendell of Carroll. Kelly, you got yourself a free sack of groceries from the Market on 30. Make sure you get there this week. Get signed up for the next sack of the game. It's the Market on 30 sack of the game, announced every Tuesday morning between 9:30 and 10 on KCIM Sports Rewind. Sports Director Jeff Blankman will announce the high school football sack of the game, and you can take home a sack of free groceries from the Market on 30 when you register in store. Well, we're going to talk about high school volleyball, and we'll get our Rewind trivia question of the week coming up next. You're listening to KCIM Sports Rewind, brought to you by St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
All right, it's time to separate the men from the boys here. We got a trivia question. That's,
okay, I'm leaving.
That's going to really... He gives already, Mason. It's all yours, man.
Don't leave me to do this on my own.
This is up to you. All right, the Eagles, of course, opened up with a win over the Cowboys.
Yay.
A pretty wild game going on there, too. But Eagles are one of six NFL franchises that have won exactly two Super Bowls. Can you name the other five? And I'll give you a clue. There's three from the AFC, two from the NFC. They have exactly two Super Bowl wins.
No, Denver's got three, right?
Denver, they're not on the list.
Two with Elway and then one with Manning.
Would the Colts be on there?
The Colts, yep, correct. The Colts are one of them. Four more to go, kids.
Saints?
Nope.
No, they got one.
They got one.
Yeah, they have one. Wow, you said four,
this is
three
tough.
Of them were AFC teams?
Yep, three AFC, two NFC teams.
Seattle?
Seattle is
no, they got
incorrect.
One, yeah.
Do the Jets only have one with Namath?
Yeah.
Jets, not one of them.
No, Dolphins have just the one, right? Are they on the list?
They're on the list.
Okay.
The Dolphins have
two.
So you got the what was it, the Colts and the Rams and the Dolphins?
Yeah, Colts and the Dolphins so far. Rams probably are one now
Rams
that you just said them.
I just gave it away, yeah.
Yeah.
One AFC, one NFC team, and we're talking the AFC East, and they were just involved with maybe the game of the century. Not Buffalo.
They Jets?
No, not the Jets. No, they played Buffalo.
All Baltimore,
Ravens.
They won both of them under John Halbert.
They won two, and the other one pains me to say because man, they were like the worst team in NFL history at one point, and they wore those awful, ugly uniforms for years. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, they won the one under John Gruden, and then a few years ago with Tom Brady at quarterback. Yeah,
yeah. So there you have it. It's the Ravens, Dolphins, Colts, Rams, and Buccaneers.
I'm glad you helped because we might have waited until after 10 o'clock trying to come. I might just had to start running through all the NFL teams.
You don't like the old creamsicle jerseys?
Oh no, I hated those things.
Oh,
those things were the worst.
Those helmets were the best.
I like the creamsicle jerseys.
Not me. Not a fan. All right. So high school volleyball, what's going on there?
Lots of injuries. You hate to talk about those things right now, but we've
it's
got
not
some,
something we generally talk about in volleyball.
No, it's not, but we've had just so many of them here in this last week. Brianna Wittrock going down at Kemper, probably going to be out for a little while. We wish her the best of luck. Kalia Minahan injured over at Peyton Sherdan, and she goes, I know I talked with her last night. She goes in for surgery. Grace Carroll went down with an injury as well for IKM Manning. She's going in to get looked at today, and I know I'm forgetting somebody. And then, of course, we've had some football injuries as well and stuff. But volleyball-wise, I think if you're Audubon and South Central Calhoun, you both went 4-2 at your tournament up at Rockwell City this weekend. I think South Central got off to a really slow start. I know in talking with Coach Schleichman, I think you had the interview with her, that maybe an early morning for them.
Yeah, I mean, it was their first tournament of the year where they host, and she says that usually kind of they get off to a slow start. But she says that eventually they got into it, they got into the swing of things, and they think that now from tournaments going forward, it won't be that they get off to a slow start, but we'll come out right out of the gate.
And for Audubon, got off to kind of a fast start, had a little bump in the middle, dropped a match to Manson Northwest Webster, who won it, and then ended up losing a tight one to South Central Calhoun. But both of those teams going 4-2, and I think you've got to really like the way those teams are playing right now. You know, elsewhere in volleyball, Coon's probably been our top team. They haven't really had much this week as they had the weekend off. But, you know, they're sitting undefeated right now on the season and playing really good volleyball. IKM Manning picked up their second win, so they're 2-0 on the year. They didn't start until last week and then went over. Had a nice rally last night. They were down 23-15, and I'll be honest, I you know, I'm in the broadcast and it's like 20-13, and I'm like, oh, there's still enough time. And then it got to 23-15, and I'm like, you know, they've got to find a rhythm going into set two. Set one's probably out of reach, blah, 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 blah. And the next thing you know, they get a point, and then Anna Stanko goes back to serve, and they go on a 10-0 run and come back to win 25-23. So, you know, the announcer doesn't, you know what he's talking about. But that, and then they rallied back again in set two to win 25-23 after being down 19-16 and 23-22, and then they rolled in set three. So, you know, we've talked about that team kind of gaining some confidence, especially having some success in other sports. And now you see a team that on the road, where they had usually struggled in that conference, to go on the road and pick up a win where you had to rally back in both of the first two sets to get wins. I think that's a huge step forward for that group.
Announcer curse. I can't tell you the number of baseball games I've been at where I said, boy, this game's moving right along, and man, screeching halt. And it takes forever to get through.
When my color commentators say that now, I just give them the look of death.
Just reach over and smack them a little bit.
But what else has stood out for you volleyball-wise, Mason?
I mean, Kemper suffering their first loss to Humboldt. I know I don't know much about Humboldt volleyball, but when talking to you, traditionally pretty good there. But so now, I mean, that remains, what, only a couple undefeated teams here with, I think, IKM Manning in Coon Rapids. So, but Coon Rapids looks really good. I mean, the tournament they had went to, they went and won there. I know the competition probably wasn't to the level of what Kemper had played, but still undefeated going into kind of this middle part of the season.
Yeah, and you kind of understand with Brianna getting hurt up at the Humboldt tournament this weekend, you know, it changes that team. Now they're loaded with the depth and they're really good still, but you have to make that adjustment in the middle of a game and sometimes in the middle of a match, sometimes that's not easy to do, and you lose, you know, I mean, she's our returning rewind player of the year from last year, so that's certainly a blow to them, but I know they'll rally and they'll be fine.
All right, so Esack County boys cross country.
Dominant so far this year. They've been in two meets and won them both, and won them both handily. The other day they went 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6 for their top five guys at their own home meet. Landon Sporer won by almost a minute. Went out and didn't slack. He just went out and ran extremely hard the entire race, and I think you tip your cap to the effort that he put in up there. But Owen Engel took second. Riley Aragon was third. The younger Engel boy, and I'm drawing a blank. I apologize. I'm drawing a blank right now on his name. The freshman, he had a terrific close in that race. He was in fifth, and they're 50 meters from the finish line, and he went on a dead sprint. I think he used everything that he had. I think it's Oliver Engel. He went on a dead sprint and ended up catching the young man in front of him to be able to finish up in fourth place. So
nice. I mean, they didn't have a cross-country program until a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, it was probably about, I don't want to age her at all, but Holly Newtzman was a sophomore, I think, in high school when they started their cross-country program. So it's 10 to 15 years old now.
Okay, it's older than I even thought. I thought it was like maybe 7 or 8.
Yeah, no,
it
feels like Holly's only been gone for about that long and stuff. But no, I think she's been teaching over at OABCIG for about that long now. So.
Time flies.
It does.
You're having fun right there. So that's some of the stuff that happened this week. Taking ahead to look the week ahead. You've got a little volleyball coming up tonight. Mason, you're going to be with the Carroll Tigers.
Yeah, I'm going to be first time without Jeff in the volleyball broadcast booth, so we'll see how that goes.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine. You got Casey standing next to you. He's going to be running the video tonight, so you should be all right.
Less intimidating than you standing next to me.
I don't know why that is, but him and who was it this summer that said it too?
Cameron
Watson, who helped us out there. Like, we're really nervous when you're here. With you being here, it just kind of scares us a little bit. So I tried to stay away as best I could.
It's because I know that you'll pick up on things that I don't pick up on first, and you'll give me a look. Like, I remember there was something, I can't remember what it was, during the Pocahontas game, but you picked it up, and you wrote it on a piece of paper and put it in front of my face during the middle of the set to show me what I was doing. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. That's okay. I don't like sitting next to Jeff Blankman either.
Yeah.
most people.
Most people don't. So
that's tonight. Jeff, you're going to be out with Glidden Ralston and an Audubon.
Yeah, that should be a really entertaining one. Cassidy Wink playing extremely well. So is Amelia Garrett for Glidden. Harlow Miller is fantastic for Audubon. Anna Larson's doing a great job setting for them. Liked what I saw from them on Saturday. But I just wanted to mention this too, John. Carol High is scheduled to have a meeting tomorrow night, if I remember correctly. Start time's at 6?
Yes.
Or sometime around that. But they're going to be discussing, and I think it's open to the public, they're going to be discussing that move, potential move to the Hawkeye 10 and that invite. So I think Mason's got interviews tomorrow night, so I'm going to be heading up to that interview, and we'll try to get you a report on what happened and where things are at. So.
All right. So, by the way, Thursday, I just want to throw in a couple more games here real quick. Thursday night, Coon Rapids Baird at Exira Elkhorn Kimbleton.
That should be a good one. I've had a lot of people say that that's for the Rolling Valley Conference Championship. Even heard from some Booyer Valley people last night that were at the Ike and Manning game that they think that the Exira Coon game on Thursday night is going to be for the conference title. So.
And then, of course, Friday Night Football, not to mention Alta Reilly at South Central Calhoun. That game will be broadcast as well. But Friday Night Football, Week 3, Humboldt at Carroll, Kemper at Shenandoah, Ikea Manning at South Central Calhoun. That's an interesting
one. It is. I love that matchup, and Mason gets the chance. He gets to work with the legendary Dave Burks coming up on Friday night.
So. Never met Dave, so this will be the first time when I look at it.
Super intimidating. No, he's not. Yeah. Nicest guy around.
Yes.
So there you go. That's our Sports Wiz schedule for the week, and that is KCIM Sports Rewind, brought to you by St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services. You can catch a podcast of this immediately following here in just a couple minutes at 1380kcim.com.